It's hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Each turn is so uncertain. I learned to walk by faith. But you gave me a promise that you
online. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm really excited about what the Lord's doing, and I know he's moving right now. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. For those of you, as you look up here, you don't see Brother Eddie this morning. Miss Kate had a fall this morning, got a call. She is taking stitches, and there's also bleeding, and they're moving her to another facility, so Brother Eddie will be with her this morning. So let's keep Miss Kate in our prayers, and Brother Eddie, as they go through this, and for those of you who don't know Miss Kate's Brother Eddie's mother, and big part of this church. When Melania and I started, there was an organ, old school organ sitting right over here. She's playing, and she's always been so active. But for God just to touch the situation. And I know there are many other prayer requests. We were in our Sunday school class this morning taking spoken prayer requests and the unspoken. There's so many that are sick, so many that would like to be here this morning. They're homesick, those that are recovering, those that are going through so many situations. Maybe it's just vacation or traveling, which is well-deserved. And for those that are just getting back, we've missed you. But also, it was spoken in our class this morning. Let's remember the situation in our world right now in Ukraine. We were talking about the missionaries. We were talking about those that are over there, those that are even just the women and children, as we say. You know, we think about it. And we mentioned this in class, we don't want the gaming systems that you can die three times, push a button, and you pop back alive. That's not reality. But we need to know there are those that are in harm's way. And for our country needs prayer. The nation needs prayer. God's got a plan. You know, He's still in control. We're not saying that we're lost and wandering around or that we have no sense of direction, because through Almighty God, when we go to Him in prayer and we lift Him up, we're standing, and His presence is holy ground. And as we're children of God, or we're those that are seeking God right now, we need to just turn our attention to Him. There are those that, like I said, that are sick, those that are suffering, those that are shut in, maybe not able to be with us. Like I said, I know there are those watching online, even from out of state, or those that will watch at a later date. We want to know how welcome you are, but most of all, we want to tell you how great our God is. It's not how we look standing up here, because if it was over that, they wouldn't let me get up here. But we just love the Lord, and God is great and almighty. We're going to go to Him in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask y'all to be in one mind and one accord. It's time that we just call on the Lord. It's time that we just release those little things going. It doesn't matter that roast you got in the oven or what time McDonald's line's going to open up or whatever. This is God's time. And let's just worship Him this morning and just be in much prayer. And I'm looking at a wonderful crowd this morning. For those of you that have a prayer request, those special needs, raise your hand right now. And it's not for me, but it's acknowledging to God that we have faith in Him and we're releasing it to Him. Our most precious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love You. Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for just Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace for us, dear Lord, for the opportunity You've given us to freely come to You in prayer. Dear Lord, that call that You've given us, dear Lord, to turn our life around and give it to You, that You'll be our Lord and Savior. Dear Lord, that opportunity we have to stand in here in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, with this congregation. Where the one or two are gathered, dear Lord, the Lord is with us. Lord, we know that Your holy presence is here. Lord, we ask for Your reign of the Holy Ghost just to be released with us this morning. Dear Lord, as we pray that those that are sick, dear Lord, those that are shut in, dear Lord, those that aren't able to be with us this morning for whatever reason, Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, and give us the comfort, Lord, for those that have lost loved ones, dear Lord, as we're going through funerals and situations right now, or maybe those broken homes, those broken marriages, dear Lord, for those children that's gone astray or those grandchildren, as we pray for them, Lord, we ask for Your Spirit to be amongst them and let them feel Your holy presence. Lord, they may feel Your call, hear Your call, dear Lord, and turn from their ways, dear Lord, and just find that point of salvation, dear Lord, just to release it to You. Again, dear Lord, for everyone in this congregation this morning as we stand in prayer, Lord, we just want to honor You and lift You up. We thank You for hearing our needs. Lord, we know that You are the mighty God. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. And as we continue with that feeling of hope, that feeling of love that only God can give us, that peace, and no matter what situation we're going through, I've asked the congregation, I'm asking y'all to join with us. They're going to put the words up there, but one of my most favorite and humble songs, and it just opens up my heart, is Standing on Holy Ground. This church has been dedicated to the Lord, but also you and your walk has been dedicated to the Lord. So I'm just going to release it to the ones that know how to sing it good. Standing on Holy Ground.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and praise. Lord, we just love and praise you.
Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for your love for us and that peace. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated if you can. Turn around, and if you're not close enough to shake a hand, tell them how much the Lord loves them and how much we're glad to have y'all in our service this morning. So good to see you. Did I hear my name? Oh, you're calling a different gym. I'm sorry. I heard a gym, and I've been married a while. I answer. Praise God. Praise God. If it's the Lord, I want to hear him too all the time. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and just continue with our service. Continue that spirit of worship and praise. God is so great. And we're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. I have the one announcement that I've been asked to continuously remind us. And for those of you who hadn't been here with us for a while, please mark your calendar for March 20th. It is a Sunday night. We'll be having another multi-church service. There'll be praise teams come in. I haven't even seen the agenda yet. There'll be a love offering taken up. Then I know there's one shelter mentioned already for battered women or for those that are in need, whatever the situation is. We're going to continue this. They had talked about maybe every quarter or so. But it's a spread out enough that it doesn't get to a point where it says, oh, but I want it to be something strong. So if y'all would just remember that. Mark your calendar. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And it's clothing and anything? That's wonderful. No. Amen. Praise God. Okay, we get more information through y'all on where you want it. Okay. Absolutely. Praise God. We'll continue to pray for that too. It's a wonderful thing. I personally know of a lady that went through that situation. Praise God. That's wonderful. All right, any other announcements? I don't want to forget anything. Choir practice? Choir practice this afternoon at 5. Make plans to come. We'd love to have you. It's a great day if you want to be in the choir. Just ask Miss Penny, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful time. I know. It's a great time. All righty. We're going to go ahead and just take up our morning offering. Remember all the other ministries going forth, all the other announcements. Band of Brothers, we're cranking back up in March, and I apologize for y'all that I've let it. There's been situations, and I have no excuse except we're cranking it back up in March. I'm saying it out loud, so y'all just keep me in the line. Praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please?
praise the name of the Lord. The song's called Let Me Tell You About My Jesus. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all his stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah.
Can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years and tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah.
Price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Yes. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh,
he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah.
His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God's good. Yes. Yes, all the time. Sister Linda Welch has asked me for weeks now to sing this song, and I was just about to leave home, and she texted and said, can you sing the Alabaster Box this morning? So I'm going to try and sing that today, but I wanted to share a little bit with you. Chris and I had the opportunity to go on a marriage retreat, which we've been on many through our 22 years of marriage. But you know, it don't matter how long you've been married, there's always room for growth in your marriage. There's always things that you can correct so that you'll love each other even more. And I always get fed every time I go. But one thing that stuck out to me this time, and ladies, you listen, because this hit me. One of the speakers said that when she gets upset with her husband, and she really just wants to, you know, she said God corrected her and said, you're to love him like I love him. Think about it. Next time you get upset with your husband, or husbands, when you get upset with your wife, you can't fix them, but God can. Just turn them over to the Lord. But I encourage each and every one of you, take time for your spouse. You know, Chris gets up at 3 o'clock every morning to go to work, and he comes home later. He has always been a workaholic. But I was so proud of him this weekend because not once did he get on his phone to answer a phone call or whatever. He said, this is our time. And I'm proud of him for doing that because that's a sacrifice. So I know tomorrow he already told me I got to get up early because I got a lot of problems to fix. But I know God's going to give him strength. Amen. And I am thankful for my husband. 22 years this year we'll be married. So those of you that are thinking about getting married, or you've been married 50 plus whatever years, or 5 years, newlyweds, whatever, love your spouse. It's important. But put God first, because a marriage will never work without God in your life. Amen. Y'all worship with me this morning. I'm going to try and sing the Alabaster Box.
As she made her way to Jesus, she stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger. Her folks whispered, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. So don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there. A prisoner to the sin that had me bound. bound. I spend my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I
seen the 36 couples that was there. I didn't know the cost of their oil and their alabaster box. And as some of them were testifying about their marriages, one of the couples that spoke being married 36 years, but then one of my friends and her husband, they've had multiple marriages. I don't know the cost in their oil, of that oil, but I tell you what, they brought a message that forever changed my life. It made me want to be stronger in the Lord and to go deeper, because I know if I go deeper, our relationship is going to be even better. So I don't know the cost of your oil today. Jesus does. But try and go deeper in the Lord this year. Amen.
God is good, amen. I don't think y'all heard that. God is good, amen. God is good to us. God is good to me. I thank God daily for his blessings. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my health. I thank God for my wife. God has been good to me, and I thank him for that. If you have your Bible this morning, first of all, I want us to remember Mama Kate in prayer. I want us also to remember Brother Eddie and his family. And I'm just going to be transparent here. I don't want it to be a passing prayer. I want you to pray like you really mean it. The Bible says there comes a point in time in our life where we have to grab a hold of the horns of the altar. Brother Rowdy, many times in my life I've had to grab a hold of the horns of that altar. You mean business. And if we will take what God's trying to tell us this morning in this message, grab a hold of the horns of the altar, we'll see things change. I know they will. John chapter number 17. I know the people in the back are saying, I thought he said John. It's all right, brother. I'm going to have one mistake a day, and there it is. John 17. The other ones are going to be all on me, right? John 17, starting in verse number 17. The Bible says, and this is, my Bible has it as red letter writing. This is Jesus talking. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Everybody say one. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22, when the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Brother Jim, would you pray?
Most gracious and heavenly Father, the Lord, as we come to you this morning, your Lord, your scripture is read and your word is open. Lord, we just want to praise you. Lord, we want to thank you for the freedom that you've given each and every one of us, Lord, to openly come to you. Lord, we ask now that you would just bless the minister as he brings forth your message. Lord, we ask for your many blessings upon each and every one that hears this message. Lord, open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears, dear Lord, that we might receive what you have for us, dear Lord. Again, we lift up Sister Kate and Brother Eddie and their family this morning to you. We know that you've got them in your mighty hands. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
As you're being seated, touch your neighbor and say, the power of unity. The power of unity. As we break down, am I on? As we break down the word unity, I want to let you know first and foremost that you're not here by coincidence. You're not here by accident. I will let you know a little something that it's kind of like an inside thing with ministers. Anytime a minister sees it's raining on Sunday, we get a little down. We get a little depressed, Brother Rowdy, am I telling the truth? And we think, there ain't going to be very many people in the Lord's house if it's raining. And if it gets cold, we think, there's going to be that less people in the Lord's house. But I want you to look around at this house. I'm looking, give yourself a hand. Give yourself a hand. Because God brought you here. I want to tell you, whatever demon and whatever devil and whatever onslaught of the enemy you had to face this morning for you to get here, it was worth it. Whatever you had to go through, whatever kind of struggle, this sock doesn't match, this sock matches. Where's my, how come this isn't iron? Where's my, I can't wear this, and this doesn't go with this, and my goodness, what are we going to do? I'm just going to stay home. And you felt the Spirit of God rise up in you and say, you know what? This is what, we're going to church no matter what. My foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I'm going to the church house because I need to hear from God. Amen. The Lord knew what was going to happen this day before it even happened. And he knew what we have need of. Amen. It's time for the church to get back together in unity. It's time for us to get back. Everybody thinks that unity is oneness. Unity is not oneness. Oneness is what Jesus was. He was in the Father was in him. Unity is when we get together and we say, you know, it doesn't matter if it's warm in the church. It doesn't matter if it's cold in the church. It doesn't matter if it's too loud, too quiet. And I want to just show y'all something, how the devil don't like what we do. Did you hear that? The devil don't like it when we praise the Lord. But you know what? He's already been defeated. He's already, come on somebody. He's already behind us. He can take a hike, Jack, because we don't need him. Amen? And it's time that we come together in unity. And it's time that we bind together. Amen? My wife is here, and I'm going to call on her for just a second. Now, come up here a second, honey. Now, whenever I pray for her and she prays for me, that's great, Brother Thomas. We pray for one another. Amen? That's great. But to really be unified, I have to be there for her. I have to experience if she has a bad day, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure she's having a good day. If I have a good day, she's going to do everything she can. If I'm having a bad day, she's going to have everything she can to lift me up. She knows how to lift me up. She knows how to make me smile. There was a time a few weeks back that you just go through things. Sometimes you're still a child of God. You still know you're saved. But you go through some things. And I can remember one night I was laying in bed. And I'm the type of person, when I sleep, I'm asleep. I'm not, I don't roll around. I'm gone, And I had woke up, and I just felt such a spirit of heaviness. And I reached over there, and I was reaching for her hand. And she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I just need to know that somebody's with me in this thing. I just need," and I want you to see, you see how we're holding hands? For our entire relationship, this is how we've held hands. And I want you to know, do you see how that's locked together? I don't want to twist your wrist. Do you see how that's locked together? When we are locked together, the Bible says, Sister Linda, that the two have become one. Whatever, and I'm not just talking on a marriage relationship. I'm talking about you're my brother, you're my sister. Let me take you by the hand. And we have to keep moving. We can't stop. We're going to walk together. We're in this thing together. You are not alone. Am I just going to pray for you? Yeah. But am I going to be there for you? Yeah. But I want you to know we're in this together in unity. Because it's harder to hit one person when the other person's attached. Come on, we're going. Come on, we're going. We're going somewhere. Come on, we're going somewhere. Thank you, honey. Appreciate you. We're going somewhere. When a football team lines up, they line up together and they have all different skills. When I played football, we used to call the wide receivers were the runners. Y'all guys love to run. That's all y'all do is run. I don't like to run. That's not my favorite thing to do. My doctor tells me, you need to run. I said, I rebuke you, devil. I don't need to, I ain't got nothing to run from. He said, running is fun. I said, it is for you, but it ain't for me. We called them runners. They were different. They're built different than what the line was. I was the center. Not the center of attention, but I was the guy that hiked the ball. You get down there, and the quarterback says, "Blue, 42, you better be on the game." Because you know what? It takes each and every person that's on that line to protect that quarterback. It takes each and every person that's on that team to be going in the right direction. We have to be unified. And I'll tell you a little something you might not know about a quarterback and the wide receiver, because I've been to practice and practice and practice. The quarterback knows how the wide receiver is going to think. The quarterback knows what he's going to do before he does it. Whenever you sit down and you just watch a football game, you think, oh, there's a lot of things that went on behind the scenes. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to get to the goal line. When was the last time that you saw a line or a wide receiver turn back and just say, you know what? I ain't getting all the attention. Bless God, I'm just going to go over here and sit down on the bench. You know what the coach will do? You can stay on the bench, buddy, because I don't need you on my team. But yet in the church, what we're doing is we're working towards the goal. The goal is heaven. And if we're not in this together, if there's all kind of discord and there's all kind of, well, did you see what they were wearing? I can't believe they wore that to church. It was so hot in the church. You know what the devil's saying? I'm going to sow a little bit more discord. I'm going to plant that seed of negativity. I'm going to sow a little more discord. Before long, you're going to say, you know what? I don't even want to be on that team anymore. I want to be on the other team. How's that happen? One little seed gets planted. But when we're together in unity, when we used to do goal line, you can watch the power that's on a goal line stance. They're pushing, they're pushing, they're pushing. And if you, there's a lot of power right there. You're talking about 300, 350, 400-pound men pushing with everything they got, trying to get across the goal line. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to make a way for the people that are coming behind us. Come on, somebody. You need to get on board with this. We're the big, strong Christians. Amen? We're the ones that we read our Bible. We pray every day. We're strong. We should be mindful, Sister Linda, of those people that are coming behind us that aren't as strong as we are. And we should say, you know what? I'm going to keep fighting the devil for you. I'm going to keep sacrificing for you. I'm going to push the plate back for you because I believe that God wants you to come into His kingdom. And I'm going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And after a while, the hole opens up and they're able to come through across the goal line. The goal line is heaven. That is our ultimate goal, is to get into heaven. You know, people ask me all the time, what's heaven going to be like? It doesn't really matter to me. Am I going to have a mansion? My Bible says I'm going to have a mansion. Do I know what it looks like? It doesn't matter to me. But I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus. And I'm going to say, I made it. I made it, Lord. I made it. The Apostle Paul said, you know, I reckon for the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed within us. You ever see them polish a diamond? Did y'all know where diamonds come from? Comes from coal. I can't remember the last time I gave my wife a lump of coal and she said, that thing is so beautiful. I can't believe you. You know? Come on, guys. But the diamond, you know where the diamond comes out? It's been pressured. It's been under that heat. Oh, come on, somebody. You wonder why things are going on in your life. You wonder why. You say, God, where are you at? God said, I'm trying to shine you if you just hold still a little bit. I'm trying to make a way if you just hold still a little bit. If you just get on to your brother's or sister's hand and hold on to them and bind your faith together, you're going to see what I can do. I'm going to show you what I can do. Because we think that the same God that raised up Lazarus out of the dead, we think, well, he doesn't do that anymore. I hate to tell you, but yes, he does. Yes, he does. I told somebody this weekend, I said, you know, I used to think of cancer as the C word. But now I think of it as God's bigger than cancer. God's bigger than cancer. The name of Jesus is bigger than cancer. He's bigger than the coronavirus. He's bigger than any kind of variant that can come out. He is bigger and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But watch this. There's a guy I work with. When I go through things, he said, I need to know exactly what to pray. Exactly what to pray. Because a lot of times we'll pray for somebody and we'll completely miss it. Whenever my son, you take him to the shooting range, you're going to be there all day. Now, after a while, you know, I've done shot up everything I have. I'm out. Because I'm one of them, bah, 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 yeah. He's over there, bing, bing. He's shooting his 22s. That kid can shoot from now until next week and only have shot 100. He's lining up. He's sighting it in. He wants it to be just right. That's how we need to do with our prayers. Let me take time to listen to what you have to say to me. Because I want to tell you, when I say I'm praying for you, I'm praying exactly for you. Now listen. When somebody tells you that and confides in you in that, don't run to brother and sister and so-and-so. Can you believe what's going on in their life? I don't find in Scripture where that's scriptural. I don't find in Scripture where Jesus said, you know what? Go ahead and cast a stone on this woman. She deserves it. No. What did he tell them? Any one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And what did they do? They dropped the stones and went on their way. And what did he tell that lady? They don't condemn you, and neither do I condemn you. Oh, come on, somebody. Ain't you glad somebody? Oh, hallelujah. Ain't you glad the blood of Jesus was applied to your life? But too many times we as the church, we lose our compassion. We don't have compassion for people like we used to. We don't love people like we used to. I'm going to be honest. I'm a hugger. I got to fight that sometimes. Over the weekend, there was people that I barely even knew, but I just wanted to bear hug them. I can't help that. I can't resist the urge to hug. I'm a hug. That's what I do. That's the nature of who I am. That's what God made me. Tabitha was telling me over the weekend, she said, you know, when you get to talking, you'll just start crying. I can't help it. I love people. I love Jesus. And sometimes when I get so full, it's like a pressure valve. It has to come out my eyes. Come on, somebody. Ain't nobody else like that. They always tell you, it's not manly to cry. I'm the biggest guy I know, besides that guy over there, who happens to carry the same heart as his daddy. His mama's got a tender heart too. Y'all might not believe that, but she does. She's got a tender heart too. I thank God that he brings us together in unity to bear one another's burdens. There was an old song, and I'm going to probably date myself, that Michael Jackson used to sing way back in the day. I know, he said Michael Jackson. The song was simply entitled, "You Are Not Alone. I am here with you. Though you're far away, my heart is here to stay." That's for husbands, for wives, but it's also for the church. You are not alone. You are not in this thing by yourself. You are not in this thing. And you think, oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, I'm just going to be transparent with you. A few weeks ago, when I was going through whatever that was that was trying to oppress me, it felt like I was all alone. It felt like I was on an island. It felt like I was by myself. I didn't want to smile. I didn't want to laugh. I just wanted to cry. It was just one of those things. You said, Brother Chris, what happened? I don't know. But I know that the spirit of oppression was on me so heavy that I just wanted to cry. Everything was making me cry. I would cry at work. I would cry at home. I would cry going down the road. And I would ask myself, what am I crying about? I don't even know what I'm crying about. But I'm so heartbroken. What has got me so heartbroken? And I thought, man, nobody understands what I feel. Nobody understands what I go through until I grabbed her hand. And I said, honey, I just need somebody to hold my hand. I just need you to know. Sometimes words don't need to happen. Sometimes you just need to know somebody's there with you. I just want to know somebody's there with me. I talk about my dad all the time and what a good inspiration he was to me. And I was thinking this over this weekend, you know, the boys, as big as they are now, there was a time to where we would go to cross the road. They would say, hold my hand, Daddy. Hold my hand. There's not enough power in me, Brother Kevin, to stop the vehicle. But in their eyes, there was. In their eyes, they knew as long as I had hold of Daddy's hand, everything was going to be all right. That was that childlike faith. If we put our hand in God's hand and just say, oh, hallelujah. The Bible says we call him Abba, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Because that spirit of adoption, come on, somebody, hallelujah, has made me a king's child. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And when I put my hand in his hand, I say, God, you're my father. And I know you want nothing but good for me. Lead me. Wherever you want me to go is where I want to go. Whatever you want me to do is what I want to do. If you want me to have this job, that's fine. If you want me to have that job, it's fine. If you want me to go here today, that's fine. I just want to be in your hand. I want to be so close to being in your presence that I'm holding your hand. A lot of times it's good enough for us to just see God, to just have that just little bit of, Sister Linda, little bit of God experience. We get the chills and everything. Whoo, hallelujah, this is a good service. Not me. When I was a kid, I used to walk in my dad's footprints. My dad had, I call them duck feet. His feet would go like that. That's how he would walk. And I would try, as I was little, I would try to jump over to his feet because I wanted to walk wherever he walked. Now watch this. Whenever I was in daddy's footprints, wherever my dad was going, guess what? That's where I was going. If we're walking in God's footprints and we're looking down, we're saying, there's a footprint, there's a footprint, there's a footprint. And we look up and we say, I don't want to go here. That's what we do, right? But too many times if we'll keep focused on God, God, I'm just going to look at you. Footprint, footprint. I'm going to look at you, God. I'm going to keep going. One of the guys that we were able to sit and have dinner with on Thursday night, precious, precious man, precious man. Just a precious man. Him and his wife, they're something else. But he was telling us about him and a pastor went on a trip to Africa. I told him, I was like, man, that'd be awesome. And he was going in depth. He said, what happened was, he said, as we got there, we went up the side of this mountain. They were in Kenya. We went up the side of this mountain, and we were in the place where we should be to spend the night. He said, and I'm always looking around, you know, at people and watching people. He said, and there was a fence. I noticed outside there was a fence, and there was four men lined up on the four posts of those fence, and they were praying. They were saying some kind of prayer. He said, and I thought to myself, this probably isn't very good. And as he was thinking that, he went and got the pastor and said, Pastor, you see those people out there? He said, yeah, but don't worry about them. You know, we're under God's hand. Everything's going to be under control. So, okay, I'm not really too worried about it. He said, man, I'm telling you, that night, he said, I've never been so sick in all my life. He said, I was sick. He said, I didn't sleep all night long. I was sick. I was so sick. He said, I didn't want to get up and go wake up the pastor and tell him, hey, I'm sick, because I knew that he needed his rest. The next morning at breakfast, the pastor was talking to him. He said, man, what was wrong with you last night? He said, man, I was really sick. He said, I felt like I was fighting all of hell trying to get out of that room. He said, it felt like demons were holding me down on that bed. He said, and I went to get up. He said, I was able to get up, and I fought myself, and I got up. He said, and I went to your room and banged on the door, and you never answered. He said, preacher, I never heard you. He said, I'm telling you, I'm calling my wife right now. We're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. He called his wife, and his wives always do. Honey, you got to trust God. Y'all ain't never had a wife like that. But baby, you don't understand. They're going to kill us. You got to trust God. God puts you there. You got to trust God. I'm going somewhere with this. So they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. They talked to the local pastor, and the pastor said, you know what that was the native tribes, the four leaders from the native tribes come. They knew where you were going to stay. They knew where you were going to be, and they were going to try to stop this revival. They come. Satan sent them to come. And they come, and they prayed a spell over y'all. Woo, hallelujah. He said, we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. He said, and I as his tears were rolling, this big man, were rolling down his face, he said, I said, God, I need you to send me a visual reminder of your presence. He said, about that time, we're standing out in this field. There's a big tree out there. I promise, this is what it said. He said, there was two white doves that came out of nowhere, two of them, and went and lit. He said, they lit on the top part of that tree. Ooh, when he said that, I had tears in my eyes. I said, brother, you know what that was? He said, yeah, that was the Spirit of the living God that came down. It wasn't just one, but it was two. There's power in unity. There's power when you say, I know you've gone through something. I know you're going through something. But I want to tell you what God's done for me. I want to tell you how God brought me out of that. How God delivered me from that. How God healed me from cancer. I want to tell you that God has been good to me. How God has made a way where there seemed to be no way. And I'm going to bind my faith with your faith and let you know everything's going to be all right. There's one thing that my wife can tell me when I'm going through some things that eases my mind. She'll tell me, she'll look me straight in the eyes. She said, I want you to know everything is going to be all right. And that hits me, Sister Linda, deep in my soul. And I lay claim on that. Even though I know God's speaking through her, everything is going to be all right. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to see it. When God says, everything is going to be all right, I'm reminded of the woman who was promised the son. We all know the story. She was promised a son by the prophet. She had a son. The son goes out one day with his dad working in the field and has a stroke. They bring him back. And about that time, she sees. She doesn't say, "Oh, what are we going to do?" She said, "Let me go to the man of God." Come on, somebody. Instead of flipping out, instead of having all that drama and all that stuff, why don't we just go to God? Why don't we just go to God? Why didn't we just go to God in the first place? And she, everywhere, somebody stopped and said, "Is everything okay?" Now listen, I'm the type of person, when something's wrong, it's all right here. You can clearly, I'm not good at hiding anything. If there's something going on, look right here, and you're going to be able to tell. I've always been like that. I can walk inside the house. My wife said, "What's wrong?" "Well, that didn't take very long, did it?" She looked at everybody. She said, "It is well." Not, "It's going to be well," or "I sure hope it's." She said, "It is well. It is well." Gabe, come here a second. Pick on my buddy here. I don't tell him how much I'm proud of him. "It is well." And those little words right there, she had enough faith. Lean against me. Not too much. I don't want to be on the floor. You see how he's holding me up? I'm leaning on him. Come on, somebody. You got to get a hold of this. He's strong enough in his faith that he can hold me up. I'm going through something, but he's going to hold me up. That's my daddy, but I love him. I'm going to hold him up. I'll tell you a little story. When I had my first surgery, I didn't know I had a punctured lung. Anybody that's ever had a punctured lung, you can appreciate breath. You can appreciate air. It was a nice day outside. I said, "Son, I believe I'd like to go for a walk." He said, "You sure, Dad?" I said, "Yeah, it's nice out. I can't stay in this house no more." "Okay." So we get out and we get about 5 steps up the road. Remember that, Gabe? 5 steps up the road. And I said, "Gabe, wrap your arm around me like you did." I was like, "Son, this ain't going to work. I got to have some help." You know what the first thing it was he does? He texts his mama. Come on, somebody. He texts his mama and said, "Mama, bring the truck around here." This child had enough strength to carry his dad back to the house, but he knew who to get a hold of. Come on, somebody. Stay with me. He knew who to get a hold of that's going to bring the help. When you're leaning on somebody and they're with you, make sure it's somebody that knows who to get a hold of that's going to bring you the help. Thank you, Dad. Because they can say, "Oh, I appreciate you, and you're just the best thing since sliced bread. And I love you so much." But when the rubber meets the road, I need to know who's with me. I need to know who's on my side. I asked my brother, my baby brother, he was stationed over in Djibouti, Africa, and he would tell me some stories if I would ask him about the stories. And he said, "Chris, you know it's true what they say." I said, "What's that?" He said, "There ain't no atheists in foxholes." He said, "When we're in them foxholes and we taking on fire," he said, "I've heard some people pray that, I mean, we're cussing God out 5 minutes ago." He said, "I've heard people pray like they've never prayed before." I said, "That's because they know who they can depend on. They know where their help comes from. It comes from God." Listen, it's not all about a religion. It's about a relationship. If I just go to my wife and I tell her, "I love you," every day, and I didn't show her, you know, every once in a while, not pinning any roses on me, I'll go to Walmart, and they got roses, or they have flowers, and I'm terrible about picking out the right, but I want them to be nice. I want them to look good, but I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money either. And she knows that because I'm just like that, you know? And I'll pick out some flowers, and I'll bring them home. The last time I brought them home to her, she said, "What'd you do?" "I do nothing. I'm innocent, you know?" And I even know how to clip the bottom. You know, you clip the bottoms, and you put the things in there. You got a little, put the little packet of thing. You don't forget to put the packet of thing because they ain't going to live very long, right? So put the packet of things in there. Put them in a nice little vase, you know? You know what that is? That's saying, "I love you." It's not all about the big fancy things. Sometimes it's just enough to know she's there. She's going through this with me. That I am not alone. I want to skip over a little bit. This wasn't in my notes, but I guess I want to do this first, and then I'll go over there. Ephesians 6 and 12. Like Brother Jim said, that roast ain't going to burn. That crock pot's going to turn off when you told it to turn off. Amen? One person, believe me. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Look at your neighbor. I want you to do this. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor." That's your neighbor right there. "You are not my enemy." You can look at me. "You are not my enemy." Say it again. "Neighbor, you are not my enemy. But you're my brother or my sister. You're not my enemy." Too many times, this is how I am. I'm just going to be transparent with you. Too many times when I go through stuff or I've had a bad day, I want to take care of it myself. It's me. I'm not a prideful person, but that's the man that rises up at me. "I got this. I'll take care of this." Meanwhile, my wife's saying, "Wonder what's wrong with him." By now, she already knows what's wrong with me. It's 22 years of marriage. She knows me. I know her. She knows me better than I know myself. Sometimes she does. We go through things. We're going to struggle. Grab that person, the one that you confide in, and say, "I had a bad day. It was rough." And let me tell you something. If you're the person on the other end of the line when they call you or they text you, listen to what they have to say. Don't be so big. And you know what they teach you in negotiating skills? Listen to that person. Because that person is trying to tell you what's inside their heart. And if you have something you want to say to them, you're not going to remember everything that they had to say if you're trying to think about, "Let me get this word in." Am I the only one like that? I do that all the time. I can't think about what you're saying because I want to tell you something. Hold on. Let me tell you first. It's something I want to. But if we'll listen, if we'll diligently listen to that person and say, "You know what? I'm going to be your armor bearer." Whenever David went to fight Goliath, the Bible says he reached down and he picked up 5 smooth stones. Does anybody know why there was 5? Because Goliath had 4 brothers. And you can bet that little bitty old David was going to face the wrath of them brothers. But what did David say to Goliath? He didn't have these big fancy words. Goliath said, "By this time tomorrow, I'm going to feed you to the birds." David said, "You come at me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Woo! Hallelujah! My Bible tells me the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Somebody needs to hear this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Sometimes I need to, Brother Thomas, run into that strong tower. I need to run in and say, "You know what? God, I need to be in your presence. Right here, I need to be in your presence. And I need somebody to be with me because I'm not going to be by myself. I need somebody to be with me, rooting for me, saying, 'You got this. You can do this.'" There's no bigger fan that I have on this world than that lady right there. She roots for me. She sees me in my struggles. She sees me in my failures, but yet she still loves me. We were going down the road the other day, and I looked over. I think it was yesterday. I looked over, and I said, "I want to tell you something." She said, "What?" I said, "Thank you for loving me, because I know me. I can get a little sideways sometimes." I want to tell you a little secret. You can too. Come on, somebody. Pinch yourself right there. Do you feel that? You know what that is? Flesh. Our flesh has to come into subjection. Come on, somebody. We have to say, "Get behind me, flesh, because you're not mindful of the things of the Spirit." And if you have somebody on your team, they need to be mindful that you need to be in the Spirit as well. You need to be in the Spirit as well. Amen? Ephesians 6, 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There is no battle fought on this earth that was not first fought in the heavens. I see these videos of everything going on in Ukraine. pray for those people. Pray for a hedge of protection. But I want you to also pray for God's will, because this is a spiritual thing. If you can't see what's going to happen in the distance, you need to read your Bible and see how everything's lining up. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Yes, there will be, but it's going to be the first part of the end. It's not going to be much longer. Amen? I'm trying to be fast, okay? Luke chapter number 10. Verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. The road that went from Jericho to Jerusalem was a road that went to the temple. It was also, Sister Linda, a road that, in other words, you didn't want to be there at night. It was a rough place to be. The thieves came. The Bible says, what the thief comes to what? Y'all ever think about that, an analogy? Steal, I'm going to take what you got without asking. Kill, it's not enough that you're dead. Destroy, I'm going to completely destroy any kind of reputation, any kind of testimony that you thought you had. The thief comes in to do that. That's what Satan does. Steal, kill, and destroy. I'm going to try to abbreviate this as much as I can, because I know we're running out of time. So the first person that comes by as a Levite comes by and he sees him. The Bible says he passes Brother Jim on the other side of the way, and he looks at him. That's the common Christian. I'll pray for you, but stay over there. Pray for you, all right? Praying for you. You don't know more, pray for him next time you see him in service. Oh, man, Lord Jesus, I ask you to help that person. I've been praying for you. Y'all ain't never done that. Come on. Let's be real. We do that because we forget, because it doesn't mean anything to us. But if it means something to us, we do it, right? The next one comes by. He passed by on the other side of the road. Kind of feel sorry for that guy. Ain't really too much I can do for him, though. How much money? He'll be all right. Keeps on going. The next one. The Samaritan comes by and he breaks every law in the land. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you smell like. You need help, and I'm coming to help you. And he reached down. The Bible says he had compassion on him. To have compassion on somebody, you've had to have been in the same situation that that person was in. That's the definition of the word compassion. And he scooped him up and he said, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. The first thing he did was he bound up his wounds. You've been beat up spiritually. I'm going to pray for you. Bind up your wounds. Healing salve of the Holy Ghost. Put him on the wounds. Then he reaches down into his pocket and pulls out the equivalent of 34 cents. You know, well, that's not very much. It's about 2 days' wages. Think about the money you make in 2 days and just freely give that to somebody. 2 days' wages. Some people say, oh, I couldn't even pay my bills if I didn't have those 2 days' wages. He didn't think about that. And he told the innkeeper, watch this. He told the innkeeper, whatever money more I owe you. You're not talking to a rich man. Whatever money more I owe you, let me know when I come back and I'll take care of it. Because I'm going to take care of him. In other words, he was telling that person that was beat up on the side of the road, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to take care of you. Because that's what God wants us to do. We as Christians would do good to be more compassionate, like the Good Samaritan. To bind more in unity, like the Good Samaritan. Bind us together, Lord, with cords of love that cannot be broken. You say, Brother Chris, why is it so important for the church to be in unity? Acts chapter number 2. I believe it's wrong in verse 38. They were in the upper room, Brother Rowdy, 120, in one mind and in one accord. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's hard to get two people in one mind and in one accord. But there were 120 people. The first church had 120 people in it, in one mind and in one accord. They weren't saying, I wonder when Jesus is coming back. I wonder what's going to happen. They were praying. And about that time, what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came in. I'm reminded on a daily basis, Genesis chapter number 1. We think that all this happened. How did it all happen? The Bible says the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the what? Spirit of the Lord moved upon the waters. If we'll get in one mind and one accord, listen, there is no vehicle on this earth that is stronger than the church that God built. The church is not the four walls. The church is us. And if we will bind together in unity and togetherness and we'll say, I don't care what you're going through, you need to know I'm going through it with you. Because one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. That's pretty good numbers. You're not in it alone. We're in this together. You're not alone. I want you to stand as the music comes. I want you to stand and I want you to get with somebody. And I want you to take them by the hand. I'm going to give you a minute because I want God to lead you. Take that person by the hand. And say, I want you to know that I'm here for you. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, whatever you're going through, I'm going through. I want you to know that I'm going to bear your burden for you. It's not a burden you have to carry by yourself. I'm going to bear it with you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. If you need me, you call me. I'll be there. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus. Father, I ask right now, Lord, that you'd have your way, Father God. Lord, that you'd bind us together with cords of love that cannot be broken, Father God. Lord, let every word that we speak be an encouragement, be uplifting, Father God. Let us be mindful that we're not in this by ourselves, that we have our brother and our sister to go with us, that we're not going to make it without you, Father God, that we need to have our eyes on you, Father God, and press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, right now I ask you to move in this house, Father God. Lord, there's those with broken hearts in this house, Father God. There's those that need a touch in their body, Father God, a touch in their finances, those that need to be delivered in this house, Father God. Lord, I ask right now you to have your way, Father. I thank you for your presence in this house, and I ask you just to have your way, Father. Move in amongst the pews, Father God, and each and every person that's here, Father God. Lord, those that need you, Father God, let them cry out for you, Lord. These altars are open if you need prayer, but I want you to pray diligently one for another. One for another. Cast your cares on one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with the melody you surround me with, a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Thank you.
from my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord
faith in God. Have faith in God. Just have faith in God. You can trust in Him and never doubt.
I was listening to, I love to hear her play. I love to hear her sing. Yeah. Can't help it. I just can't help it. Brother Keith, I love to hear you play. Carter, you got it going on, buddy. Sister Lisa. And of course, Sister Penny, I mean, you know. She is the queen for a reason. I'm telling you something. I feel a spirit of unity in this house. Hallelujah. Do y'all feel that? Hallelujah. I love researching history. And anytime you research history, they always tell you, divide and conquer. That's how you'll get. And the devil does the same thing. If he can divide us, he can conquer us. But when we're together, we're strong. I told Luke, I said, you know, there used to be a game we played as kids called Red Rover. Remember that game? Red Rover, Red Rover. They never called for me. I don't know why. But you would hold your neighbor's hand as tight as you could. And if that person could bust through, then they got to pick who they were going to take back with them. If we're interlocked our hand with our neighbors, and the devil tries to send whatever kind of adversity or whatever kind of sickness or disease he tries, let me tell you something. He can't stand a chance at what God. Too many times we try to think that God and the devil are on the same. It ain't even close. They're not even in the same league. We're talking about a God that created everything. And I'm going to tell you the truth. The devil knows that. And he's mad. An old preacher man said, the devil's mad and I'm glad. Because if he's mad, I'm doing something right. Grab your neighbor by the hand. I want us to close in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Father God, we thank you for this spirit of unity in this house, Father God. Lord, I ask right now, Father God, that the oil of joy would rest upon each and every one of these that's in this house, Father God. Lord, that your mercy and your grace would fall like the dew of Hermon, Father God. Let it be a refreshing time right now, Father God. Lord, as we leave and go out these doors, let us be carriers of the light, Father God. Let us show love to those that need it the most, Father God. Lord, as we go our separate ways this day, Father God, bring us back this evening to come and worship you, Father God. Put a hedge of protection over us this week. Lead us, guide us, and direct us in the path you'd have us to go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.